Item 6. Again, Mr. Meacham.
Thank you, Chairman. So this is a regular update to our evidence base. And to make, again, it very clear for members of the public and committee, evidence base is iterative. So it builds on a matrix of information over time. And there's certain elements that need to wait for other elements to be in place before we can do the next piece of evidence. And that's been similar all the way through our plan-making process over the last few years and is done and practiced in every council in the country. So what we're doing is correct, and the order of things we're doing is correct, and so I just wanted to just reassure members of that. Now, I'm going to run through a few elements that have been published recently on the regards to the evidence of the local plan. I'll start off with the objectively assessed housing needs, move on to transport modelling, retail, the sustainability appraisal, and also we've got a table in front of you which explains where else we're moving in terms of evidence in the coming months, which hopefully you'll find helpful. Okay, so we always knew, and I highlighted it back in April, that we would have to revisit the objectively assessed housing needs because we knew at that time that things would be released by the Office for National Statistics and also for communities and local government to interpret those population trends and convert them into household growth. And they're the key components of what we need to consider when we're looking at our objectively assessed housing needs. So we have jointly commissioned the same team, John Hollis, who you might remember from presentations I gave to committee and workshops, and Peter Brett Associates to do that work for us across the housing market area. I'm hoping to have a heads up on the numbers to see if we can move away from 600 or we have to stick up to 600 or we can get back to 550. I'm hoping for a heads up on that very imminently, and we can share that. What it will do is help inform what comes before you in November in terms of a feeling of where the preferred the submission version of the local plan should be heading, whether sites can be deleted, whether sites could be included, because we will need to refresh all the housing numbers in relation to that, because clearly the world hasn't stood still. We've had appeals and other things all come into play. Remember, every house counts, basically, or home count, I should say. Okay, so that's that, and so there'll be better and more detailed information in November, assuming we can rely on our consultants to deliver that on time. So moving on to transport modelling. Our transport modelling is done in three phases. So the first one was done in issues and options. The second one has been done for preferred options. And the third one will be done for the submission version. And essentially, what the County Council does through the assistance of Ringray Jacobs, their consultants, is to assess the impact on junction arms or roundabouts of the likely growth from the local plan and also those with the permitted developments in the background of that. So just in summary, 10 junctions have been modelled and they're in the main committee report. Each of the arms of those junctions are then considered from traffic counts and from other methodologies that the Ringway Jacobs employs to basically see, is the design of that junction suitable? If not, what can we do to increase the flow of capacity at those junction arms? So that's the key thing. So there's no such thing as a roundabout being completely beyond capacity because there is always mitigation. And that's just the reality of life. So what we basically looked at is what modest changes could be done to those junctions. That could be things like traffic signalisation, that could be like a left-hand slip road. And those things are all taken into account. Say, the impacts of homes must be thought about also in terms of the impacts of mixed-use developments and employment, because our employment numbers do generate significant amount of vehicle movements, which are included in the transport modelling. So don't think of this as just a housing matter. Okay, so basically the model establishes that five of those 10 junctions are already having issues in the peak hour in terms of the design, the rate of flow of capacity. In other words, you might get delayed, you might be head to tail for a while in certain periods. Not news to anyone in the room, I'm sure. But what we have now is evidence to show where that is and what it's impacting. And more importantly, that's as it is at the moment. What we then say add on to is the background growth. In other words, everything that the council's already consented or has been won on appeal. So we capture that information as well. On top of that, we add the local plan growth in for the employment and the housing allocations. And when we do that, we notice of those five junctions, two have really no impact from that additional growth, whereas three have some additional constraints placed on them in terms of the rate of flow of minutes spent getting out of the junction. And there's also a sixth junction that picks up after the local plan and background growth is added. Essentially, that's when then the county comes up with solutions. Obviously, it's done hundreds right through the county of what are the best ways of actually increasing flow capacity. And as I mentioned, it could be anything from signal time and changing the actual road radius on there, and at the more higher level of the low mitigation measures, putting a left slip road in so you go straight across a roundabout as opposed to having to go round and queue at the roundabout, something that's worked really effectively in Chelmsford, if you're familiar with that there. The key thing to bear in mind is actually, of all the models that are in the report, only one is the result of local plan. So the increase from the local plan affects mostly the freighting roundabout. So that is where we've already got high congestion and there will be additional congestion even after some mitigation measures are made. Now, that's not a showstopper by any shape or imagination. At the moment, the South East Local Enterprise Partnership and the Essex County Council are doing something called a route-based strategy, which has been to other committees at the council, and they'll be looking at sort of longer-term solutions of what to do to address that particular area. And that will be influenced into our junction modelling for phase three of this local plan. So that's
everything. So what we've been asked to do, committee, is that the local plan committee notes the latest progress on the evidence base to justify the content of the local plan, and the head of planning continues to commission and prepare the outstanding studies as set out in table one of this report, providing updates to committee on an ongoing basis. I'll take Councillor Guglielmi.
Thank you, Chairman. My question at this present time is on the evidence gathering. I notice on page 35 that most of the evidence has been commissioned out to either Chelmsford or Colchester. I just would like to have an understanding of why that is, and also would like to have some kind of understanding on the tender process. I would presume there would be represented on the tenders when the tenders do come up and are open, and since there is quite a lot of joint collaboration work going on there, just would like some reassurance and some explanation why we are not part of the evidence gathering there.
Yes, do please. Sorry. I'll go quiet. Just go straight in.
Thank you.